We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Definitely more entertaining than All-Star Weekend. It's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host, Don Benham. With me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host, Ruben Tomas. Are you enjoying the All-Star festivities, sir?
Juan Toscano got robbed. He was trying to do it for the culture. It did not work.
he was doing it for the culture, and the culture lost.
Culture lost one today. Yesterday. Yeah, it's been fine, dude. I have it on the background now, just vibing out. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Sure. So. Well, speaking of vibing out, joining us today is the wonderful, amazing. You can find him on Twitter at Slingy. Is there a number? I forget.
24.
Slingy 24. Grant, welcome back to the podcast, sir.
What's up? Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about Darius Garland's All-Star MVP day.
He's our resident Cavericks fan, I should say.
Yes.
And
I never thought of that.
Well, I remember during the 2011 stuff, there was like an entire section of like Cleveland Mavericks supporters just as an anti-LeBron thing. So they had like the Dallas Mavaliers.
I've wanted that shirt.
Yeah, the Cavericks. There's a lot of stuff on there. So it's kind of neat.
Fun fact, I think the highest Slovenian population in America besides Miami is in Cleveland.
It is.
So I know they love Luka out there too.
Yeah.
So
good to know. Crossover. I need to learn a Slovenian word that is not Luka Doncic.
Why?
just as like a, you know, like a cheers or a hello,
something, thank you
or yeah, something, because like all star, yeah.
I need to learn how to say hell yeah, or like just cuss words, like.
So for all of our Slovenian listeners, please tune in with as many Slovenian cuss words as you can,
please. Yeah, I actually really enjoy trying to learn all those.
I saw someone say, "We need a slur for toddlers," and then they said, "In the Ukraine, they have a word. I of course can't remember the Ukrainian word, but it roughly translates to shitlings."
That's awesome.
That's the cultural stuff that I want to know about. Give me the deep cuts, okay?
Honestly, I thought you were gonna say we should just call the slur Grant. That's where I thought you were going.
Or Mavs Network.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna call my son your little Mavs Network in a couple of years.
I can't wait for him to hear this.
Oh God, man.
Well, that's some strays.
I know. Anyway, we had two games this week, I guess. Game against the Heat, which is always a fun time because of obviously 2006, 2011, though it's been 2006 was what, 16 years ago now, which is crazy.
Yeah, that finals can drive a car now, which is weird.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. We won that game, even though they're top of the East. I think that was our first game with Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans and Bertans actually went off, dude. He had 12 points. I think I think that was the most points he had in the last like month with the Wizards. So
totally,
like, that's great. That's just a good time. Maxi Kleber obviously going off, you know, 5 for 10, 19 points. Luka obviously doing Luka things. Dorian Finney-Smith had a great game. Jalen Brunson had a great game. Like, I'm looking at the stats here right now. I'm trying to remember like it seems like everybody who played like did something good. Even like Sterling Brown, who had like an assist. Good for him. Like, despite playing 6 minutes, like, you know, like, it was good. Like, you know, it was a good game, like, to watch. Again, like, it's been weird for me because, like, it's, like, my wife's, like, birthday time, you know? So, like, her birthday was on Saturday, last Saturday, but then her parents wanted to do stuff on Tuesday, so I was like, okay, cool. So I missed, I missed the first three quarters of that game, you know? Just because I was doing stuff. Yeah, I really needed the fourth, really. Like, you know, that's what she thinks, too. She's like, you don't have to watch the first and the fourth quarter. You know what goes on between. I'm like, yeah, but, I mean, good game. I don't know if you guys have any insight or anything to add to that.
It's always good to watch the Mavericks beat the Heat in one way or another. I mean, I don't have the vitriol that I used to have for that franchise, really, since Dwayne Wade retired. Like, that's, I think once the torch was passed to Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I was
been a while.
Yeah, I've been waiting. Someone needed to tee me up for it. It was going to be me. I still dig that team. I think that team does the right things. And like, even though, you know, Butler was a huge free agent signing, and you know, they traded for Lowry. Like, you know, big game hunting, but like, I just think they build the team the right way, you know. I absolutely 100% buy into Heat culture, and I love it. I am all about like just the insane sociopath training schedules and just disgusting competitiveness. It's fantastic, and I want to see the Heat healthy, because I think they've weirdly gone under the radar, even though they're top of these. Like, I feel like I don't hear any I feel probably because like the Ben Simmons James Harden trade has just taken over everything. Yeah. And like, no one's talking about the teams that are actually winning and performing and doing well. Much like no one's talking about like the Suns or the Heat, and that's probably going to be our finals matchup if I had to guess. Like, maybe Suns Bucks, Mavs Bucks, maybe. But Nugs Bucks, dude, Nugs Bucks would be fun.
Grizzlies Cavs.
That'd be really fun, but also would piss off a lot of advertisers.
Absolutely.
It would piss me off.
But. Yeah. The Midwest Showdown. Even though Memphis is technically south. I don't know. Yeah, it's still south. Everything's so close up there now. Like, I'm pretty certain like the US map is just wrong. Like, Texas needs to be bigger than what it looks like on every map ever.
It feels like it, bro.
I've driven 9 hours and not gotten out of Texas. And like, I
mean, yeah.
If you do that, you're crossing like four state lines if you're in Tennessee, depending on which way you're going.
I mean, like, I've done, you know, Dallas to El Paso, which is crazy because El Paso is like in between, like the midpoint between El Paso and California, like Los Angeles, which is crazy. I've done Dallas to like the Valley, so like McAllen, sure, all that area. So it's like, it's fucking insane how big this stupid ass state is.
I've only done the Colorado drive, and yeah, you never leave Texas for most of it.
Yeah, I've done that drive before too. It's not that bad. It's a drive, but it's, you know.
I will say, once you get out of El Paso, like, the country just turns into a better place.
It looks nice.
New Mexico is gorgeous. Like,
mountains,
plateaus. Is that right?
I will say though, in my
no fjords trips, though.
And my road trips out east, if you go on I-20, like, it's the complete opposite kind of beautiful. Like, if you go west, it's more like mounds and like desertish kind of looking stuff. But if you go out east, it's all like trees. For some reason, the sky is closer to you. I guess the elevation or whatever. I don't know how that works. I'm not a scientist, but the trees and all the greenery is awesome when you head out I-20 going towards like Atlanta and stuff.
Right. Yeah, That's awesome. Yeah, I've made the trip out to Florida a couple of times, and I think Louisiana needs to fork over some casino money to fix their goddamn roads. We've gotten off topic. What was the other game?
Oh, wait. I wanted to talk about the Heat.
Please.
To touch on what Don said. Don nailed it. Their culture has been outstanding forever. Obviously, Pat Riley is going to do right on every step of the way. I don't have the same feelings I had towards them in 2011 because – I mean, Dwayne Wade's gone. Everyone on that team is gone. It's not really important. But
Wait,
Haslam? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
He's the one they've, like, killed four times as, like, this weird sacrificial killing, and he's, like, still alive. Like, each successful Heat season is, like, he has to, like, lose a finger or something.
Oh, he's played games this year. What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he came in for – well, I mean, I wouldn't say he played games. He came in and called somebody and went back to the bench. But,
we call that a Udonis double-double this week. Comes in two fouls.
So, I don't remember what exactly he did this season, but I remember last season, maybe it was even the bubble season, but he came in literally – a week to go in the season, hadn't played all year, like a week to go or something in the season, played just like a couple minutes and then like fouled somebody. He fouled out and then he just like never played again.
That was it.
The Udonis special.
God, so crazy, dude.
But yeah, they also beat the Mavs in 2017 when we whiffed on Bam Adebayo. And that's how they've been able to build their team so perfectly. Drafting Bam, drafting Hero, and then obviously signing all the major free agents. Your Dragic,
Jimmy Butler,
Your Butler, your Lowry, and then of course finding Duncan Robinson, finding guys like that is huge.
Hassan Whiteside.
that was the thing that happened. He was good at 2K. Mavs Network is smiling now. He was crying in the beginning, but he's smiling.
Well, I think Whiteside, that it's actually pretty remarkable that they got off that con. You know what I mean? Like they traded that for. I know they traded him to Portland. God, this is like nine Hassan Whiteside transactions ago, so it doesn't matter. But like, it's kind of. You see smart teams get rid of players past, like before they have like their dip. And that's why I'm really interested to see how the Porzingis trade works out. Is like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he's underselling his value. And like last time that we like, I mean, it was a different situation since it was free agency, but we like when we let Chandler Parsons go and we got Harrison Barnes, everyone was like, what the hell are you doing? This is like, you know, cause all they saw was just thinking like, oh, here's a guy that wasn't that productive on the Warriors, and then we just let our best, most productive player go. But then, like, one of those guys is still very much in the league and very important to a franchise. I don't know if it's going to be the Kings next year, but I would say the Mavericks have definitely had some foresight that has, you know, looking back at it, looks like they were actually pretty right about a lot of those things. With maybe, I think like they're just the biggest whiff was clearly like Tyson Chandler. But like, I mean, we couldn't have been more right with the Chandler Parsons, Harrison Barnes transaction. At least one of those was an asset at one point. So,
see, you said people were freaking out. I wasn't on Twitter or anything really besides just seeing the news back then. But I remember distinctively being like, absolutely, like, this is how is Memphis messing this up so bad. I know it was 2016 and you had to spend money because of the spike, but like,
right,
could they not have gone for Harrison Barnes? Could they not have allocated that money elsewhere? Like, how did they not see that Chandler Parsons was, you know, was it three knee surgeries in three seasons, or it was at least two?
It was crazy.
Well,
yeah,
I mean like Timofey Mozgov was the first free agent. So I remember this distinctly.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yes.
He was one of the first guys announced, like one of the first Woj bombs that season, and like he got over $10 million a year at in the Lakers or on the Lakers, and I'm like, this dude's name is synonymous with just getting dunked on. Like, you just got Mozgov'd, and this guy just got $10 million to warm a Lakers bench. Like, like then that was also the Luol Deng contract. There's so many funny. Nicholas Batum was another one.
Andre Drummond. I mean, you know, we said that name a million times, and he was at least a, you know, defensive All NBA player back then.
Totally. And like, and what was it? Connolly got paid that year too.
Connolly had not only did he get paid, it was the biggest contract in NBA history, I think.
Yeah, for a guy that had at the time was never an all-star.
No, never an all-star. I mean, he was the second best player for that franchise ever, but you know.
Yeah.
At the time.
So let's see. Yeah. So moving on to game number two. You know, we go on a
we'll talk about off-season or Mavericks off-seasons of off-seasons past all day with Grant. Yeah. That's why I miss him.
Exactly. Yes. Let's see. So the last game before going into the All-Star break, which is, I didn't realize it's like 10 days long. Jesus. But, you know, winning against the Pelicans, which should have been a win either way, made it really close in the end at the fourth quarter because Luka and company were just dicking around for whatever reason. Like, Luka was just, like, fucking around the last, like, 5 minutes, and I was like, motherfucker, like, this is not what we need to be doing. Again, scored 49 points. Like, it made me so mad that he scored 49 because it's just, like, it's a bad number. Like, it needs to be a 50, like, you know, like...
To balance out the 51.
I guess so. Yeah, if you combine those and divide it to 50, yeah, okay. But yeah, like
he was keeping the splits even, is what you're saying.
Josh Green starting, getting 25 minutes 0-for-2 for the field.
Hey, but he was huge.
He was huge. He did a little stuff off, you know, a little stuff you don't catch on the stat sheet, you know. Spencer did what he had a good game, still hasn't had a turnover with us yet, which is great. I kind of like how they're doing his minutes so far, where like he's getting like starter-type minutes, but he's off the bench either way. Davis Bertans look like shit, actually. <Yeah. laughs> 1-for-7 from three. Luckily, we didn't need his three-point shooting too much this game. Pelicans are weird. CJ McCollum on that team like is actually working out pretty well for him, personal stat-wise. Had 38 points. I think he had like some like 16 points in the fourth quarter, which is crazy. Brandon Ingram looked like shit. 6-for-21 from the field. But when he did score, I'd be like, damn, dude, this guy's good. You know, like that was very much for me like that boy nice, like just watching. I wasn't even like worried about the stuff he was missing. I was like, whatever. Of course, Valanciunas, like just killing us. Who could have saw that coming? And then Jackson Hayes had a good game, it looked like, so. I mean, not too much to say about this game. Just like we dicked around, you could tell that the guys retired and just wanted to go to the All-Star break.
Yeah, so. It's very much like the two games, or not the two games we lost, but the who was that first team we? Oh, the Magic game. It's very much like Luka being a mouse or being a cat playing with a mouse.
Yeah,
should have won the Magic game. Should have won this game.
Yeah,
and shouldn't have gone the way it did, but.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. So
yeah,
I mean, good game. I mean, we won. That's all that matters, really. But just like, damn, dude, like you cannot be dicking around like this. Like, I don't know. Like, again, Davis Bertans going 1-for-7 is not going to cut it when it gets to the playoff time. So
it's not going to cut it. But if he's going to continue to, you know, have these bad stretches, it's good to get it out of the way now.
True. That is true. Yeah, because I think after we go back, we only have like 25 games. It's kind of crazy.
I'm also really interested to kind of see the production or where I want to see how much better Dinwiddie and Bertans are after, you know, a week of practice, you know, and actually like you were just like giving some handshakes, getting your number and playing two games or three, two or three, either way. And just, you're just kind of be at the, all right, do something, you know, like they don't know our scheme yet. They don't know, you know, where the best place is. And to be honest, Luka doesn't know what their best spots are either. So it's that's the fun. Like that's why I'm always really hesitant about like pull the trigger on a bunch of trades. Like especially mid season. Cause like there's an adjustment period to like, you know, to chemistry, to like figuring out what works and what doesn't. And I think it's probably going to be a better situation than with Porzingis. There was a whole lot of like, your turn, my turn kind of feel to the offense. And if we just have like, but I feel like ultimately everyone's still very involved. Like it doesn't feel like, all right, everyone sit and watch Luka play. Like Luka gets other people open, you know, it doesn't feel quite as boring as watching like peak James Harden. Like, and because a lot of the times I just feel like he would just dribble the air out of the ball and then, you know, get free throws. Like, that was pretty much his entire game. Like, Luka will take over in some instances, but it looks to me like Luka tries getting everybody involved and like finding people in the exact spots that they want to be in. Like, that's going to be fun to see if we can start, you know, getting Bertans more wide open looks. Because I'm also just really interested to see what happens to Spencer and Bertans, like, now that they're playing winning basketball in this culture. Like, it's different. It's just a whole different, like, you just have a little bit of extra effort, you know, a little more pep in your step when you're not having to like suffer through Bradley Beal's bullshit. I think I'm going to go on a tear. I think Bradley Beal is maybe one of the more overrated superstars that we have. And you know what? Yeah, man, sure, you need some help, but like, it's amazing how many times like just like injuries start becoming a part of it. And like, I don't know, I feel like he's been someone that's been crowned before he actually really did anything. And everyone's wanted, like, oh, what's, you know, he's always been kind of a huge superstar name that, what has he really done aside from just like be good stats on a bad team guy?
The 2014 Eastern Conference Finals. He lost to LeBron.
Yeah, that is true. That was like the one time where I was like, oh shit, this guy is.
But it wasn't even him, or maybe it was 13.
But I was like, Paul Pierce. Wall.
Yeah, it was Wall and Paul Pierce. It wasn't. I mean, Brad had his good games. You're right. He hasn't done much, but it's still like yeah. That's also it's also just a Washington thing.
Sure. Yeah. There's also the fact that it's the Wizards. Yeah.
Which they have like a good foundation, but from what it sounds like, I mean, they were fighting in the locker rooms and everything else.
Yeah, like when Davis at his like that press conference was like, yeah, like, you know, we were fighting for minutes and no one knew who was gonna get minutes. And when they was, you know, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, he's very candid about this. He did not like to be there, it looks like. So, which is weird, he signed that contract, so I don't know.
But it's also like, I mean, it's really funny seeing that, like, basically nobody won out of the Wizards, Wizards Westbrook trade. Like, the Lakers certainly aren't doing better because of it. And, like, none of the Laker players wanted to really be in Washington. I mean, like, there was this weird stuff, like, at the beginning, like, I saw the Wizards, Mavs play, earlier, I want to say in December or November. And it, like, I was like, oh, this is a team that's really, like, clicking. Like, this is like, they're really good. And I don't know what dissolved between them. I don't know if it was just, you know, they just had hot shooting and then once the shots stopped falling, they're like, hey, turns out we actually hate each other. I don't know.
Yeah, they started like 6-1, I think, something like that.
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah,
really hot.
I was like, oh shit, they actually might be good this year somehow. Like,
I mean, they've got some solid pieces. They do. Yeah, obviously, sure. Rui being, you know, out for 2.5 months for personal reasons, it's kind of weird. Denny's been playing outstanding defense. Thomas Bryant needs to come back. Bradley Beal needs to get it together.
Well, I mean, like, he's gone for the season. It's just like, tank.
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah, like, if you have KP on your team and he's not playing, just tank. Like, just get a high draft pick, dude. Yeah. Like, we can talk the Mavs out about that later, but, you know.
We've also seen it, like, KP's not going to affect winning that much, especially without Bradley Beal.
Yeah. So, I mean. So, yeah. But, you know.
I wish him well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still love KP. I'm kind of happy that, you know, I'm sure everyone is relieved every time there's an injury report not having to
look at that. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, now it's just Sterling Brown's weird foot thing.
Yeah.
And then Tim's,
Trey Burke's shoulder.
Yeah, something, you know, some of the little stuff, but
I don't know. My thoughts on the trade. Obviously, I wasn't very happy when it went down, but it was because of what we gave up for KP, not what we got for him. Giving up, you know, I think it was 2 seconds and 2 firsts, plus Dennis Smith Jr. It might have only been 1 second. But for Dennis Smith Jr. and only getting back, you know, good role players who are making a lot of money, it's not the most ideal thing when you're a guy like me who values, you know, draft picks. But I don't know, we probably never will. So
I know. I mean, you know, the jury's still out. I think, you know, because we didn't really have anything to do last draft this year. I think we have our drafts. So we have our picks. So we'll see. We'll see what happens
for now.
Yeah.
We can't trade that pick. We can't trade that pick until draft day.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. So,
but at least in order to pay Brunson what he should be making from us, we're going to have to shed one person. And the easiest way to shed one of those guys is by attaching a pick to it. So
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and get into questions. But before we get into questions, we have a special sponsor today.
Yes, a special sponsor. Guys, today's Sunday. What is the date? February 20th. Sunday, February 20th. It's 10:40 as we're recording this, and I'm assuming it'll be out by 1:30 p.m. What are y'all doing today at 1:30 p.m.? What do y'all got going on?
I don't know. Might do some gardening.
Some gardening. Okay.
Yeah.
Take care of my kid, probably.
Taking care of your kid. Yeah. You know what y'all can do in the background while y'all do both those things.
What's up?
What can we do, Grant?
At 1:30, our time, 2:30 Eastern, of course. The Daytona 500 is popping. The NASCAR season is starting. Right, we're going fast and we're turning left. We were talking about road tripping. I assumed Don was gonna say he went over to Daytona and watched the race, but he didn't. So yeah, I just wanted to come on and spew the. I just wanted to come on and talk about my Lord and Savior, say the word of my Lord and Savior NASCAR. I haven't been on this podcast in about a year. Last time I was on, we were doing a trade deadline last year. Since then, I started a NASCAR podcast called Go Fast, Turn Left. And I just wanted to come on today and to tell you all that it exists and to watch NASCAR because it means a lot to me. It's my favorite thing in the world. And it's never been a better time to get into it. There's a brand new car. They don't race the same slow cars they've been running the last 5 years. They changed everything. The new car is supposed to level out the playing field. The better teams will still be the better teams. The better drivers will still be the better drivers. But they're supposed every chassis is exactly the same to start. So guys that normally have talent but don't have the equipment are going to be able to compete more. And that's huge for a sport that has had problems with parity in the past. You know, Jimmy Johnson winning everything always. So yeah, if you go onto my Twitter at Slingy24, I have an article posted. It's just screenshots of the article because how it was originally supposed to happen didn't end up happening. So it's just screenshots of an article, but it's a really good read. It explains my favorite driver, William Byron, number 24. Just to give you guys or anyone listening, if you're into gambling or whatever, William Byron is a good pick. He is 15-1 odds right now. But I personally, if I was going with the safe bet, would go with Ryan Blaney. He's outstanding at these kind of tracks, and the Fords have been stupid fast all year so far. And then if you're going with a long shot, there's a rookie named Harrison Burton, also a Ford driver, but he's looked outstanding too. So yeah, please pick your favorite number, find a favorite driver, and talk to me about NASCAR. I love it. Everyone should get into it. It's really a great sport. It used to be the second most popular sport in America, and you know, obviously all the big names left and retired, so it's kind of taken a backseat to a lot of things. But recently, it's grown in popularity, and I want to do anything I can to help spread the word about it because it really is a nice sport. It's something nice to do, on a Sunday where there's no basketball because the basketball game tonight isn't a real game. The biggest stakes of the year. Yeah, so people ask me, why does NASCAR do their biggest race at the beginning of the year? I don't know the reason, but I don't care. I love it. It's literally like, this is what I imagine, like, what people feel going from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day. That's like what I felt last night. That's what I feel right now. The Daytona 500 is just always, part of the reason is because anyone kind of can win the Daytona 500. There's like surprising winners every now and again. So, it's kind of a crapshoot, but I won't dwell on it too much longer. Thank you guys for letting me say my piece.
Everybody, go check out Go Fast, Turn Left, like it, subscribe it, review it. If you're going to get into NASCAR, you should be listening to that podcast. Grant, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about it.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Of course.
All right, let's see. Let's go and get into questions, guys. So Juan, one of our contributors, asks, Why Don't You Love Me? I Do Love You. In all seriousness, what would be funnier if soccer had coaches challenges like in the NBA, or if NBA had penalty shootouts?
I love that idea. I've never thought of doing penalty shootouts or like a dunk contest to settle a foul.
but it's gotta be like the worst like free throw shooter on both sides.
Oh, we have Luka.
No, we have Luka. Luka, if he's shooting fucking 50 from three, you know, he's only shooting like 40 from the free throw line.
Playoff Luka misses free throws, man.
Overtime decided by a game of horse.
God, that'd be so terrible. I would love to see that. That'd be hilarious. I think I'd want to see that more than like a coach's challenge in soccer.
I don't want to see a coach's challenge in sports. I like. I don't mind soccer, but like, I cannot imagine the bitch fest of coaches complaining about a guy that didn't get hit but act like he got shot from a sniper tower, like that. Oh man, the appeal of football is like that it's constantly moving. Like to put any stoppages in that would be I can't endorse it.
What would you want, Grant?
Skills challenge overtime. Or not skills challenge. What was the thing they were doing on Friday? I didn't really understand it, but it was I saw like Josh Giddey and Evan Mobley like on.
I think like, it was like a skills challenge. I think it's what
it was like. But it was like
teams now. It's weird.
They were recreating pop famous moments or something. I don't know what it was, but that let's do that for overtime.
Fuck yeah!
You get a floater from the free throw line. You get a right corner three. You know, shot from the top of the key, and that's how.
Let's see. Next question comes from it's Grant, filling in for Squish with the questions. Grant asks, "Who's winning hashtag Daytona 500?"
Like I said before, y'all go.
41. Number three.
41. Already forgot the names, but that's fine.
Ford.
Austin Dillon actually won the Daytona 500 in 2018, so he's done it before. He's a decent enough plate driver. Cole Custer, I don't think, has had too much success on these kind of tracks, but like I said before, I'm going with Ryan Blaney standing right at these tracks. So yeah, Ryan Blaney's winning.
All right. Daytona 500.
Thanks, Grant. What a great question.
Next question comes from Chad. Can Marquise Chris play in the playoffs?
I don't know what's happening. I mean, like, he was so helpful and like, so like, he was just a real part of our second unit. And do you think all of his power was in his hair?
Like Samson?
Since he got the haircut, he hasn't been as effective.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. Like, I think he can be effective in the playoffs. Like, and depending on like where he's starting at, like if he's coming off the bench against like a big that, you know, they can like that cater to his strengths. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. That's so like the rotations have been really weird where it's like even like Frank Ntilikina will get like 20 minutes one night and then it's like no minutes next night. And it's like, dude, like what's going on? And I think a lot of it for me is like, I'm just like, I'm so like scarred from like KP having to be like, oh, like I need, you know, to be in rhythm. And, you know, so now my brain's like, fuck, does everybody need to be in rhythm? Like, what's the problem? You know,
no problems with weird lineups during the regular season. Like, yeah. I am all about that stuff. Like, it's like, all right, cool. Let's see if this weird unit can work. Like, I'm
all centers are all, you know, all fucking guards, bro. Yeah.
Theo Pinson by himself. See how it works.
Oh, I think it comes more or less down to what Josh Green and Bertans are doing in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
More so that than what, you know, if Chris can play. If those two are playing their positions like they should be, then, I mean, I don't really see the point of Marquise Chris. Like, yeah, he could come in and get some minutes, but I think if those two are playing their at least average to their best basketball, then they should be getting the minutes over him. I think that's more of the question. But I, you know, with KP gone, also, like, really, since we've acquired those players, if Maxey's not scoring 19 or 20 points a game, then you look to go get a guy like Chris more involved. So I think it more depends on those three guys so than it does Chris.
Yeah, I agree. Maxey and Chris's minutes are the ones that are more interchangeable. Like, because right now we're kind of a donut team. We really don't have any bigs. And I mean, we've got Powell, Maxey, and Chris ultimately. And like, I just looking at like some of the bigs that we'll have to face in the playoffs, that's going to be pretty rough. I mean, like if you're looking at Ayton or Jokic or I mean, like or Gobert, like there's just a lot of teams that can really punish us, you know, inside. Hopefully we can avoid that. But, but I mean, you know, if we're playing small, you know, there's advantages to play, you know, I mean, Gobert has been played out of the playoffs pretty much his entirety of being in Utah. So it's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like we need a Gobert killer or whatever. We're not in the chase to find someone that can sort of guard Shaq, you know.
Well, we have a Gobert killer.
Who would that be?
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Fuck yeah. Let's fucking go.
He's a jazz killer.
Did I tell you about the time that Dodo liked one of my comments on Instagram?
No.
What? Yeah, it was super early. It was like his rookie year. He posted his own highlight of him just like absolutely posterizing a guy on a standing dunk. And I can't remember who it was, but all I commented was, "Y'all want to see a dead body?"
I love that. I'm so happy he got paid. Let's see. Awesome. Next question comes from Mr. Slav Squat.
Okay.
I love that. What do you think about our schedule post All-Star break? If the Mavs get out of the second round, can we convince Luka to wear the headband like he wore in preseason practice? Ooh. And last question: Slavic team for All-Star skills challenge 2023. That would be fun. I actually would love that. Because, you know, this year it was like they had like the Antetokounmpo brothers and they had like the rookies. It'd be kind of cool to have like
the all like, Slavic. So who like all Eastern would be Europe. Under that? Yeah. Okay. So just all Eastern Europe. Okay. So that like, would be like Luka Jokic,
bro. Like that's all you really need.
Who would be the third? That's not where I'm getting kind of like,
I don't know geography.
Bogdanovich, okay, cool.
Or Dragic, dude. Like, you know,
Dragic, sure.
If he's still in the league, you know.
Is Latvia Eastern Europe? Don't make fun of me.
It's not.
Who's the Croatian dude?
Herzonia? No, is Herzonia still in the league?
No, not Herzonia. No. Zubac.
Oh, Zubac. Yeah, Zubac. That'd be fun. Zubac. Just a bunch of big dudes.
Bobby?
I'd watch that. Bobby could be the fourth guy off the bench if he needs to be. I love him, but no.
I mean, the All-Star weekend is what Bobby's made for. Like, just put him out there. Have him play every event. I want to see him do a dunk. Exactly. Like, he'd come up with some. Well, and that's the thing. I think really the All-Star or the dunk contest has just gone to shit since they didn't give DSJ his flowers. He should have at least advanced the next round because I think he was the most like exciting dunk prospect. Since like it's so funny to me because I just remember like the Levine Gordon battle was really the last like memorable dunk contest that we've had in a while. And like it's so funny to me that Gordon has not won one of those. considering how many times he's done it.
Like he literally was like, "I'm not doing this ever again." Yeah, he's like, "I'm not doing this ever again." So.
Yeah, he did get every time. Well, yeah, exactly. And so it's also just like what's made like the difference in the dunk contest recently has just been like who's put on the prettier costume, and I'm over it. Like some guy wearing someone else's jersey, like or I'm wearing a Michael Jordan Toon Squad jersey now,
and well, that's I'm putting an NFT on my chain and wearing it around my neck,
and then not doing the dunk, and then not doing the dunk. Goddamn, Jalen Green.
Yeah.
So he also asked, what do you think of our schedule post All-Star break?
It's pretty tough. It's
gonna be tough as shit, dude.
Jazz, Lakers, or Jazz, Warriors, like, Lakers, we get back, Warriors. Kings, great.
Yeah, Kings,
Jazz, yeah.
Knicks, Rockets, Celtics. Okay, like
Knicks, Rockets, Celtics. It should be fairly simple, but like, we're facing the Nets that will probably have Ben Simmons and. I don't know what KD's situation is. I think he's just going to be for the playoffs, if I would imagine.
But I thought he was coming back after the All-Star break. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he was coming back.
Yeah, They said he's coming back sometime, like after the All-Star break. Like,
could be April 1st.
Yeah, sure. You know, like.
But like we're going Nets then 76ers, which is pretty
that's awesome.
Narrative wise, that's pretty insane. Yeah. So like it's a tough schedule. I mean, we're still making the playoffs. We're not like in any threat of like losing to like the play-in game or something like that. But like either way, it's going to be we're going to have some real angry Twitter moments in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. You guys are ready for that.
Yeah.
let's see. Next question comes from Drew. I think it's mostly for me though. When are you coming to a UNT game so you can see these dudes? They're in Fuego. I haven't been to I haven't been to Denton since my cousin got married. It's crazy though, because like when I go back there, I'm always like, "Fuck, dude, this place is so much different than it was when I was in school."
I'm down to go though. It's really developed.
Yeah, I'm down to go though. I just don't know when. You know, it'd have to be a weekend. Just because I'm a teacher and I can't really miss work.
Denton road trip. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm totally down for it though. You know, maybe Don can play a show up there and change there the weather.
There we go.
Change the weather.
Yeah. Once I bring the winter with me, we can go into the indoor stadium that is and watch the Mean Green play. It'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt underneath said, come watch Law Tech, which is obviously a good program, or the conference tournament, which I'd be down for the conference tournament. That sounds like fun as fuck. I think they play that in Frisco, actually. So I'm down.
I think you're right. I think they play that at the old Legends, I guess the Legends Arena.
Yeah, they play it somewhere. I think they play it somewhere up there. I'm down for that, though. Cool. Last question for the night or day comes from Mavs Sweeper. Mavs Broom asks, what do you expect from Dinwiddie and Bertans through the rest of the season?
I expect Dinwiddie to lead the second unit. I expect Bertans to hit open shots. That is my only expectation of those two guys.
Yeah, I expect them to be contributors in their own ways. You know, I can definitely see like Bertans hitting a timely three here and there, you know, to extend the lead or get us back into a game. And I definitely expect Spencer to go ahead and start leading that second unit, especially now that Jalen Brunson, who will be getting paid somehow, some way, is going to be a starter going forward. So, and it's good to have that kind of size and a guard on the bench anyway. It's generally weaker competition, and it's good for him. And for that, that's for the season. And then for next year, like, I can totally see, you know, their images being rehabbed and then us being able to ship one or two, you know, for other pieces. So I think it's kind of what ultimately their goal is, like the Mavs making that trade. So,
and I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of people wanted this, but I definitely was this past summer was all aboard getting Dinwiddie. It's definitely a guy I wanted. I didn't want to trade Kate. Going out and getting a guy like Dinwiddie was something this team needed, but I can't believe you guys let the NFT joke fall right to me. Like I thought one of you were gonna say it. But yeah, I expect Bertans to hit open threes. Hopefully, NF threes. Was a stretch before the bubble. I believe it was before the bubble where Bertans was something ridiculous like 70 above 65 or 70% from like 40 foot threes or something like that.
That's fucking crazy.
The dude is an absolute sniper. He just this season with Washington hasn't been hitting him, and last season with Washington wasn't hitting him, but he's absolutely has the capability to do it. So it'd be cool to see him do it. And then I expect a Spencer Dinwiddie NFT or two.
Yeah, somewhere down the line.
Somewhere this season.
yeah, I totally see that. And those are all the questions today, guys.
Right on. Special thank you to Grant for hopping back on the pod. You will be on the pod again sooner than later. I can guarantee that. It's always good having you on Talking Ball. And everyone needs to go listen to Go Fast, Turn Left, the hottest NASCAR podcast in the land. And you know, there's probably at least six other podcasts. So I know that he's going to be topping that soon. He'll be running around the corner. He's going to win the Daytona 500 to podcasts, sooner than later.
Oh, yeah.
He's, He's who I'm picking. But yes, go follow Grant at Slingy24 for great Cavs takes, Mavs takes, and of course, NASCAR takes. I was going to try finding a way of making NAVs, but that's not a thing. Navigate your way to his Twitter. You can also follow Ruben at Reddit Mavericks. You can find me at Don_Denham. Please read our articles at mffls.com. Thank you so much for submitting questions, for listening, and for just being awesome fans in general. This has been our all-star weekend recap of sorts. It's good talking ball with you guys. Gentlemen, y'all have a great rest of your day. And this has been the Hoops of Hapvisons podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wait, before we stop, I forgot. Join the Patreon. It's literally a dollar. It's a dollar. And we do watch parties for every fucking game.
Every fucking game.
Every game. Including, I think tonight we're doing the All-Star game too, which is like whatever. But do that. Again, thank you, Grant, for coming on. And I had one more thing. Oh my God, what my brain. Whatever. If I remember it, I'll remember it later. Sorry. This was like, we probably aren't going to record next week just because I think we all need a break.
Yes.
And there's only gonna be one game to talk about, and you know,
and so, we're all getting hammered for my birthday. We're all
All right. Anyway, I'll see you guys later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.